Hello, you're listening to season 5 of the Achieve With Me podcast, and I'm your host, Rachel Gilfrim. My mission as a confidence and career performance coach is to empower women just like you to build confidence at work, have your voice heard, and achieve genuine career fulfillment. We'll be chatting about creating confidence, setting boundaries, finding the fun in everyday tasks, and of course, navigating the usual challenges that come with being an achiever. Connect with me on LinkedIn to join my group, Mindset Hacks for Ambitious Women. And without further ado, let's get into today's episode. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Achieve With Me podcast. Now, our regular listeners will have noticed that we haven't had that many interviews this series, and I've really wanted to keep it to specific guests that I absolutely know can add some value to the specific listeners that we have now. And I'm absolutely delighted to welcome Rebecca Shaw, the Achieve With Me podcast today. Now, I'm sure you're all curious about the title of this podcast episode, and we're going to get into the topic just very shortly. But for now, let me introduce Bex. Now, Bex is a lead principal consultant at Berendo here in Leeds. Bex has always been in a career in a STEM background and has found many of her roles to be male dominated. Probably some of you can resonate with that. And now she is a natural leader and has a great interest in people development, and has generously shared her experience recently when she began working as a mentor for the Women in Tech initiative. Bex is perfectly placed to support women who are keen to explore a career in tech, given her personal lived experience, of course, but also the added benefit of being a certified coach. Today, I'm really keen to hear from Bex about the benefits of mentoring and, let's face it, bust some myths about what it's actually like to be a woman in tech. Bex, welcome to the show.
Hi, Rachel. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. I've been really looking forward to our chat. So I'm sure the listeners are keen to kind of understand a bit more about you and your story. So I know that I shared a little bit about, you know, what it is that you do for work in the intro, but would you mind giving us a bit of your sort of career history and sharing how you actually got started?
Yeah, of course. So quite often when I speak to other people that have ended up in tech careers, they've had this like, oh, I accidentally ended up here, has sort of been their story. And mine's kind of the same, kind of not. But I started off, even when I was at university, actually working for an organization in their engineering customer services department. And I worked there for quite a number of years. And that's where my sort of my STEM background started from. So working in that engineering facilities management and that kind of space. And whilst I was there, I acted as a subject matter expert on a project, which was a tech project, to roll out this brand new system. So it involved kind of getting all the stakeholders together, all the requirements together, doing all the system design and working with a vast number of different people to be able to make sure that we had a really successful product launch. And while I was part of that project team, I began working with a really, really brilliant architect, a business architect, who was a female as well. And she was just like, she just ended up being my mentor and helping me to kind of work through what I wanted to do and look at my skills and my experience and work with me to figure out a way that I could actually then take control of my own career and move into a tech role, still within the same organization that I had been working with already. So I already had those relationships, which was really lucky for me to be able to do that. So because I had that excellent exposure from her, I was able to then transition myself into the role of a business analyst. And then from there, I get more into the detail of working on tech products through not only within that company, but then moving that forwards into another organization, which was more focused around logistics. And then ultimately moving into my current role in consultancy. I've had a look at different ends of that technology spectrum, from business analysis to product ownership and all the kind of bits in between.
Wow, okay. So that's really interesting. So one of the things that you mentioned actually was that, you began working with somebody who really inspired you and sort of became your mentor, which is fantastic to hear that, within those early days, you did have access to that support available, because I think that for a lot of people, particularly women, it can be quite difficult to know what is available to them, especially when you don't know, if there is that support system there. So that's great to hear. So how long is it that you've been working at Berendo for now?
For about 18 months. Prior to that, I
Okay.
was working for an organization for about 4 years, which was in the logistics, but as
Okay.
a technology role.
Okay. So if you think about when you were kind of getting into the industry, obviously, you started off by saying, oh, well, it was sort of by accident, and you kind of fell into it, but then actually became a subject matter expert, which is fantastic. If you hadn't have done that, what other roles would you have considered?
I mean, what other roles haven't I considered? I'm a bit like, oh, that sounds interesting. I'll go and do that. I mean, I've considered all sorts of things, even from retraining as a veterinary nurse, through to setting up my own business, or all sorts of different roles. I mean, I was in a senior management role anyway in my previous role, before I decided to make that transition into a technology role. So I would probably, have carried on that path and stayed within the facilities management industry and tried, and carved out my role, throughout leadership in that area. But yeah, I think once I'd kind of seen not only that. I had that role model, that successful female role model who was working in technology, who was absolutely smashing it, and was holding her own in those rooms full of men, where she was the one that they were all looking to for the answers, and really would see the value in what she was saying and would listen, and she was really driving things forward. That was just so inspirational. And one of the things I think is missing sometimes, or well, often is missing, is actually that kind of visibility of female role models within technology, not just within leadership roles, but just successful females that work in technology. That's one thing that I think we really sort of struggle with. Along with things like just awareness of the types of roles, because I've talked about being a business analyst and a product owner. Most people either haven't heard of those roles at all, unless you work within the tech or product development industry, or they wouldn't associate them necessarily with being technology roles. Like, it tends to be more around, oh, well, coding or testing and those kind of very traditional, that's what technology is. It's sitting behind your computer and, ones and zeros. So there's some of those kind of myth, that bit of that myth busting, I think, that needs to happen, which is what I try to do through my mentoring and trying to create that visibility and awareness for people that actually there's a whole diverse list of roles that you can do that will, more, there will be a role within technology that will suit your strengths, your skills, and your interests. It's just about finding out what that is.
And I'm glad you've said that, because that's one of the reasons I was keen to get you on the podcast, because really highlighting successful women who have built fantastic careers for themselves in the tech industry is something that I'm passionate about as well. And one of the other things that you said, Bex, is a lot of people might not have heard of these roles. And I can safely say now, I'm nodding along here, right? And my background was in the tech industry, but in a sales role. So whilst I can sit here and say, yes, I have been a woman in tech prior to starting my coaching business, the actual technical roles aren't something that I've done personally. So I think there's definitely distinctions between that, and also ways in which that people can begin to enter that industry and understand areas for themselves that really interest them. But of course, if we're not having these conversations with people, they're never finding out about it. So I think it's so important, the work that you do, and I'm really pleased that we're having this conversation. One of the things that I was keen to understand, if you sort of look at where you are today within the industry, and then almost sort of go back and reflect on how things were when you started, have you noticed progress within the gender split in some of these tech roles?
I think there has been progress, and I think that progress carries on to kind of keep gathering momentum. There's obviously initiatives like International Women's Day, which tends to have a lot more focus, a lot more publicity around the different roles that women can play, and you know, our part and importance in society. But there's also roles like other kind of awareness days around women in engineering, women in STEM, that are much more focused, much more targeted, and all kind of aimed to raise awareness. One of the things I was really pleased to see this year, because I've got teenage children, and my daughter is 14, and this year for the Women in Engineering, International Women in Engineering Day, their school actually brought in a number of women that were in different STEM subjects to come and talk about their careers, how they got involved in it, and what they'd done. And I just thought that was really good. It's really showing that actually at that young age, we're trying to get in, we're trying to educate them. I was talking to somebody a few weeks ago, and they gave me this like amazing stat, which was that actually children by the age of like as young as seven have already got in their heads what's a boy's job and what's a girl's job. So although at like teenage level, high schools are, you know, trying to pull some of that awareness in and are holding those initiatives to try and raise that awareness, it needs to start at, you know, right at the beginning to try and make sure that girls, I mean, young women have the knowledge that actually this can be for me. It's not a boy job. It, you know, it can be a women's job. And I think all those things, as we become more aware of that as a society, and more people come into tech roles and talk about tech roles, and we have a lot more of these kind of mentorship programs and specific coaching programs that women can reach out to, whether you're already in tech or whether you want to get into tech as a future career step, there's so much more support now than there was, which, and all of that I think is starting to help that transition and that flow into more of those kind of tech roles, as not just being jobs for the boys. Actually, you know, there's a lot more opportunity there for women.
Yeah, and thank goodness. Great to hear about the schools really having that involvement and the visibility on the female role models. And I know I've done a little bit of sort of voluntary work myself, getting out into the careers fairs, just to kind of show a bit more about the breadth of roles available and career options available for people. But I totally agree with you that it really does need to be starting earlier and normalised, not just in the education system, but in the home as well, you know. Yeah. But that can be quite tricky to give that consistency surrounding, you know, people's beliefs about what roles, you know, younger women and younger men should be going into. So it's quite a sensitive topic, I think, for a lot of people. But the more and more it's talked about, and the more fantastic people like you are supporting people through these initiatives that we've got, fingers crossed, you know, we'll start to see more interest in getting women into some of these sort of STEM-based roles. So if you think about, you know, the work that you're doing with the mentoring program, I'm really keen to kind of do a little bit of a dive into what mentoring actually is and what it all consists of. But when you started to work with women who were keen to get into that tech industry, what did you find that some of their sort of things that held them back were?
I mean, we've just been talking about how things are opening up and are getting much more progressive, and the balance is starting to get there a little bit more. But it's really interesting that in the UK anyway, there's only about 26% of women that fulfill tech roles. So there is still that kind of that balance towards it being more male dominated than female dominated, although that is on the rise, which is awesome. But also there's only about 5% of leadership roles in tech that are occupied by females. So there's two aspects really to the women that I've been working with. One of those angles is that it's people that want to break into a tech career that have come from a different role or different industry, but want to learn how or want to find out how they would be able to move into a role within tech. And the other aspect is people that are currently working within tech but want to progress forwards into a more senior or leadership type role.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I can imagine that, well, as we both know from personal experiences, having had previous conversations on it, I can imagine that advancing within that specific male-dominated industry can sometimes be quite daunting for individuals when they sort of know that they want to continue within that industry and potentially that organisation. But don't necessarily feel that support's there. So of course I can see why that mentoring would be absolutely fantastic for people in that position. You know, if you think about any people that you're supporting at the moment, and they're, let's say they're in, you know, one of two camps, so you've got people who are sort of looking to get into that tech industry. Would you say that people are doing that right at the beginning of their career, Bex, or are there people who are looking for career changes into STEM?
So of the women that I've been working with, they've all been career changes into STEM, but some of those were still only fairly early in their career anyway. So they've been working in like an entry-level role and then had learned about these other roles and wanted more information about how they could start to progress themselves. Others are more well-established within their career and want to change the focus and direction of their career. I'm not actually working with any people that fall into this category at the moment, but actually another popular category for particularly for women getting into tech is actually returning to work from having like a long period of time off, whether that would be to, you know, have a family or just have a career break or whatever those kind of things might be. But returning into tech roles seems to be an industry trend at the moment as well, which is where I think a lot of mentorship, coaching and things help. Because there's different dynamics to that as well. If you've been out of the workforce for a while, then there's that element to it, as well as the wanting to move into a new industry.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I think that there's definitely seemed to be a bit more of a drive for supporting women to get back into full-time work, full stop, you know, after having a family. And, you know, I know as a conference coach, the toll that can take when you feel as though, oh, well, I've had this time out, what on earth am I going to know about these things? And correct me if I'm wrong, Bex, but from my perspective, I think one of the challenges that I certainly personally would see going back into tech specifically is that because tech's always moving so fast, the innovation is just daily changing. So I think that there could be a perception as an individual, or will all the tech or all the changes that will have happened, how on earth am I going to keep up with that? Would you say that's a fair assumption?
Yeah, I think that's what people perceive as being a blocker. But particularly with a lot of the organisations that I've worked with, I know that Verindo is very, very kind of focused on this, is about concentrating on the behaviours and the transferable skills that a person has rather than their experience or knowledge of a particular thing. Because we can teach you how to use a system, you can learn what the new industry trends are, you can, you know, all of that information is available for anybody to consume. If you have the right mindset, the right, you know, transferable skills, the right approach to your job and the way that you would tackle things, that's more important. And I think that's where we can get a little bit wrapped up in our own heads of like, oh, well, I don't know how to do this, or I don't know how to do that. And women in particular will when we're looking at a job role and saying, well, I want to apply for this job, we will assess ourselves against the job description. I do it. If I'm looking for a new job, I'll go through and I'll like tick off all the things that I'm like, oh yeah, I think I can do this. And if it's not 100% there, then quite often we won't apply for that job, or we'll be hesitant to apply for it because we think, oh, I don't meet all the criteria, so they're not going to interview me anyway. But actually, I think, you know, there is a shift, and it's slow, but, you know, there is a shift to look more towards actually the behaviours of the person overall and what they can bring to a job role, to an organisation, rather than looking specifically at, oh, well, yeah, you know, I've got this many years of experience in using this system, because you can learn that.
Yeah. And thank goodness, eh? So we've almost got like three different pools of people here. So we've got really helping younger people to understand what opportunity is available. Then we've got people who are already in a career but are thinking about making the switch and get into tech. And then potentially women who have had some time off for whatever reason, whether that's to start a family or, you know, had some other time off, and are now thinking about re-entering that tech industry. And it's fantastic to see that it seems like there is a lot of support available for people at all stages of their lives to really maximize their career potential, which is something that I'm obviously, in the way that I do, you know, cheering on all the time, because I feel as though there's so many people that just almost feel as though, oh, you know, I can't do that, the mindset gets in the way of them taking action. So it's definitely music to my ears to hear about this.
I'd say that
But
the fourth element to that is the people that want to progress into those leadership roles.
yes, of course. Yeah, thank you for correcting me because I missed that one. Yeah, people who are wanting to progress but feel as though, they're not really sure how to articulate the direction that they want to go, potentially their value, or maybe see any skills gaps as massive drawbacks rather than opportunities to learn something new, which it's great to empower people to feel as though, okay, well, if there's something that you don't know how to do now, that doesn't mean you're never going to know how to do it. It's all about having that growth mindset. So one of the things that I was thinking as I was gabbling away is, we talk quite a lot about things like coaching and, personal development on this podcast. But it struck me that some of the listeners might ne not necessarily know what mentoring is, or they might think, oh, okay, well, Beck sounds fabulous, and it sounds fabulous that there's all these initiatives in place, but what might actually happen if I did start working with a mentor? So I wondered if you wouldn't mind just sort of outlining what actually happens in a mentoring session and what happens when you kind of are looking for a mentor and you begin to match with someone.
Yeah, it depends probably which pathway you choose to get your mentor. A lot of organizations, if you're working in an organization and there is somebody that already is in the business that you have a relationship with, or you can get a relationship with, who you feel has the skills and the experience that you would be appropriate for you, you might be able to seek mentorship through that pathway. So a couple of the people that I've mentored in previous roles have been people that I've worked with. So they were, a bit like more junior to me in terms of their experience and their pathways, and they wanted to get to where I was at, and therefore they approached me and asked me if I would to work with them as a mentor. So that's quite informal. It's something that could be quite relaxed and arranged as you need to. There are obviously other organizations that you can approach which are specifically set up to match people through the mentoring program. So you can register as a mentee, you can register as a mentor, and then through those organizations you either get paired by the organization, or you can, it's almost like a dating site, so you can have a look at the profiles of the mentors who are available, and then you can decide, oh, okay, well, I like their experience, I like what they're saying on their profile, and then you can select to have an introductory meeting with them. So you wouldn't always be immediately thrown into, okay, you've selected me as your mentor, so now that's it, we're committed to having a mentoring session. There would always be that kind of initial conversation to make sure that actually, we get to meet each other. Do you feel like my experience is what you are looking for and will help you to be able to progress? It's a chemistry session, really. Like, how well do you think we can work together? And off the back of that conversation, you can agree whether you want to or don't want to progress that relationship any further. And the benefit of using organizations like that is that there's no pressure. There's no, it's not going to upset anyone that you might have to work with again every day, like you might have in that informal relationship where actually if things don't work out, potentially, one or other of you might feel awkward. I'm sure that doesn't happen very often, but there is, that is one thing to consider when you're deciding which is the right way for you to go. Through these organizations, there's a whole myriad of people with so many different experiences and backgrounds. One of the people I'm working with isn't even UK based. So just having that kind of global reach as well brings a whole different dynamic to it as well, just getting out completely outside influences to be able to help you. But generally, sort of in a mentoring session, once we're having that conversation, I can only talk from my own experience, but this is how I like to hold my mentoring sessions, is it's just very relaxed. It's quite informal. We'll talk through what your career history has been. Where do you want to get to? What are your hopes, your goals, your ambitions? What are some of the things that you feel are challenging? And then I can help to share some of my own personal experiences and probably use a bit of a blend of mentoring and coaching to try and help go, be a bit more, well, this is what I've done. Maybe you could, share the wealth of my experience, but in other ways to kind of get the mentee to think about how they might approach things in a different way by asking some more typically kind of coaching conversations around how they think that they could approach something differently.
Oh wow, that's so awesome, because you know they get the benefit of actually having some tangible advice when they don't know where to start. Because let's face it, we've all been there where we think, I just don't know what to do. But then also they can kind of really help themselves be guided to what they already know that they want. Because I imagine that once they get started, it'll start to feel a little bit clearer and that clarity will come. That sounds great. Thanks for sharing that. And you know, I think very often it was really great that you shared that actually people have approached you directly and said, you know, would you consider mentoring me? First of all, I think that takes a lot of courage. You know, I think it takes a lot of courage for somebody to see somebody that inspires them and actually say to them, you know, would you help me? So absolutely, just want to say, like, to any of the listeners, that that is a commonplace situation, you know, to approach somebody that inspires you and kind of make that request. Now, sometimes organizations will have policy surrounding mentorship, where they might kind of encourage that or make it more well known, I suppose. But I think it's great that you've sort of shared that sometimes that approach is quite natural. Can you think of any situations where, you know, if somebody, let's say I'm somebody who wants to get into a career in tech, and I don't have an existing organization that I can kind of try and find somebody to support me. And let's say that I don't know about anything like women in tech. Let's take it back to basics, Nick. Can you think of any tips to help other people to find a mentor?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of places where you can actually get individual personal mentorship from. It doesn't necessarily need to go through an organization that might be set up to do it as that kind of matchmaking situation that I described before. You know, there's plenty of resources. You can use LinkedIn, you can use Instagram. There are people that are available through that you can get through TikTok. There's a lot of content available for you to be able to find people that offer these mentorship services. And, you know, as you said, that reaching out to somebody in your organization is one thing. But actually, if you see somebody on LinkedIn that posts things that actually you think, do you know what, that really resonates with me, or I'm really interested in this person's journey, just reach out to them. But the worst thing that they can say is no. So at least by, you know, you've reached out, you've tried, you know, you can start making that connection. You can begin to build your network of people in similar industries or in similar roles that you feel like you might be interested in. Because by doing that as well, you're also getting a bit more insight into the role, into the industry, into trends, into things that go on in that. And you know, you might find that actually that you think, yes, that's really motivational. I really like that. I really enjoy it. And you want to carry on down that road. Or you might see things that you're like, oh, I didn't realize that that might be part of my role. Or, you know, let me have a look more into it. And you might find things that actually mean that maybe you want to have a bit of a rethink and take things in a different direction, whether that's a different type of a role within technology or a different role altogether. So there is a whole mine of information available and people that will be all too happy to help. So the main thing is, you know, just reach out.
Thank you, Bex, for really making that clear. And you brought up a really, really important point, which is about LinkedIn. And of course, I know that we are both very active on LinkedIn. And you know, of course, you know, I will include Rebecca's LinkedIn page that you can connect with her to the listeners. But I think one of the things that I've mentioned before on this podcast is about building a network and really trying to proactively understand more about industry trends and that sort of thing. I think if you're not already on LinkedIn, you know, make sure that you are on there. But B, you can start to look at other articles, and exactly like Beck said, you know, make sure that you can do your own independent research to try and get a feel for whether something interests you or not, because there's so much information out there that we don't often utilize. We just kind of wait until somebody, you know, invites us to or suggests it. But also, if any of you are kind of thinking, oh, well, there is someone at my work that, you know, she looks like she's absolutely smashing it, you know, I kind of like to ask her to be my mentor, but I don't really know how to ask or I feel a bit silly. Let me tell you, I have had people approach me directly who I genuinely like, I don't even know them, like they literally just contact me online, asked me to mentor them. And it is actually such a nice experience when somebody says, you actually inspire me and I'd love to learn from you. So don't worry about feeling like, oh no, I've been embarrassed to ask, because actually you might make that person's day. You know, you might actually help them to see themselves as a leader, and empower them to really start to level up in some ways. So I think that's something important to kind of add in as well, is that a lot of mentors that I speak to have cited that they personally get benefits from mentoring people, because it gives them context about how far they've come. But they're also continuing to learn more about the experiences of people who are in that situation, which if you are a leader, or if you are somebody that, you know, has an interest in bringing people up through that career development process, is really helpful to know. Have you found that, Bex? Have you found that, you know, you've experienced personal gratification from doing that role?
Yeah, I know in one of the kind of early roles, when I was first approached to be a graduate mentor, this was through an organisation that didn't have a mentoring scheme or anything, but because I've been doing this informal mentoring with people, and the good feedback and the good progress that had come out of that had been recognised not only by the individuals that I was mentoring, but also by their managers, their peers, and that kind of messaging had got back to the organisation. So when they took their new set of graduates on, they set up their graduate mentorship as a role within the business to try and really make sure that they were supported. So not only did I have that, like, it was brilliant to be asked by somebody to be their mentor, like for the first time ever. I was like, really? Are you sure you want me to do
that?
So it's brilliant to be able to ask that. And then you do change the way that you think about things, because you're trying to think about how you can reframe it to make sure that it makes sense to somebody else. So actually it really makes you kind of critically, like, reflect on yourself and your ways of working and things. So it is a benefit to the mentee, but it is also a development opportunity for you as a mentor as well. It gets you to think about things in a different way and develop your skills. So yeah, anytime that somebody approaches me and says, oh, you know, I'd love you to be my mentor. You know, the first time that somebody connected with me on through Women in Tech and said, oh, I've seen your profile, like, I think, you know, I'd really like to work with you. That was like, oh my goodness, like, this is somebody that I literally have no knowledge of. Like, they don't know me really apart from my bio that I've put on there and a bit of shared experience. So yeah, it's nice to feel like somebody trusts you with them, you know, opening themselves up to you and asking you for help and to asking you to help them to curate what their career could look like in future.
Yeah, 100% agree. It is an honour, and it builds confidence on both sides, which is something that I am obviously a huge advocate for. And also to the listeners, don't think you have to do it all yourself. Don't think that you have to suffer in silence and wait to be invited to do things. You know, we've got all these opportunities to really get the facts about what's possible for us, so that we can really make informed decisions about our career, rather than feeling like we're just sort of, you know, going with the flow all the time. Because, you know, that proactivity could really, really put you ahead of a lot of other people within your career, if that's what you want. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely benefits to almost fast track and accelerate that career trajectory by working with a mentor who can almost talk to you about fundamental things that have worked for them within their career journey. So don't try and do it all yourself is definitely what I would say. So for you then, Bex, I mean, you know, where you are on your journey, you know, as a mentor and, you know, as a leader who is working her way through her career, you know, is there anything that you wish people knew about you?
Well, that's a good question. I suppose, like, one of the things is that I'm, like, naturally I'm an introvert. I'm really shy. Like, that I was one of those kids that would hide behind their mum's legs and I wouldn't want to pick up the phone and things like that. But actually, through going through this process, for as being a mentee and a mentor, both elements, they just help to almost give you those kind of coping mechanisms and ways to remove some of those limiting beliefs of, like, oh, well, I can't do this because of that, and I can't do that because of this. It gives you a different set of skill set. And I've been able to really kind of use those to just take control of what I want to do with my own career, and the way that then I can reuse that to be able to help others who might be in a similar situation. So I have spoken to a couple of mentees recently who said, oh, well, I'm a bit of an introvert, so I don't really want to go to these like networking events, so I don't really know how else I can connect with people. And having that kind of relatable experience, I think, probably helps to say, well, you know, I've been there as well, and these are the way that, this is the way that I deal with that, and this is how I've managed to overcome it. And if you are somebody who, you know, is feeling particularly like, I'm not really sure, you know, how to approach that, then by working with a mentor, or even by, you know, maybe acting as a mentor yourself to other people that you might be able to share your own experiences with, you know, sometimes that can help to build your own confidence of like, oh, no, I do know how to deal with this. Okay, I've had to overcome this problem by doing something else, and taking that learning for your own development and how you handle yourself, and how you can kind of own the way that you work.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that, because, you know, it can be tough when we know we've got all this potential, but sometimes it feels really difficult to get past some of those like tendencies to be shy and that sort of thing. And it's great to see you are such a positive role model for other women, because you've done so, so well. And it's interesting you were just saying about how actually considering yourself as a mentor can be quite powerful. I had this with a client very, very recently, a matter of weeks ago, where she was talking about getting a mentor, working with a mentor at work. And, you know, I suggested that she actually considered who she might be able to help. And it was like, boom, just total change in perspective of, leadership mindsets set in. And the conversation changed. And I think we all have something to offer. You know, we all have experiences that we can share, and we all have unique perspectives, because regardless of where you are in the junior, senior, you know, wherever you are on this roller coaster that we call our career journey, you have experienced things that nobody else will have done, and certainly not from your perspective. So we've all got value to add. So I think, you know, that's another really good point that you raised about, you know, thinking about being a mentor to someone. This has been such a good chat, and I know that you and I, you know, we talk about people development quite a lot. For the listeners, Bex and I met over a year ago now, actually, at a learning and development meetup. We both had a passion for learning and development and for people development as well. And I know that we talk about this sort of thing all the time, and it's really tempting for, you know, me to forget the fact that we are actually doing a podcast interview, and actually that we're not just chit-chatting anyway. But we probably should wrap it up at some point. So I guess, you know, is there any final piece of advice for the listeners that you could share, Bex?
I think my main piece of advice is just ask. You know, if you feel like there's somebody, whether you know them or whether it's somebody that you feel like you've seen on LinkedIn, or whether you want to go through a formal organization that might be able to provide mentoring, just reach out, because there's so much support available. You know, we need so many more, as many women as we can get to kind of, you know, share our experiences and create that that, you know, driving force to inspire other women to be able to kind of own their journeys and to take themselves forward into tech. That's something that's really going to help to start to close that gap even more, and to get more and more women into the tech industry, just to normalize it. And this won't even be a conversation anymore. And we definitely need to move the dial on that 5% of women in leadership roles. And, you know, anything that we can do to support each other as women, definitely go for it. Be a mentor, ask for a mentor. But either way, you know, grab it, grab the opportunity, because it's there.
So it's been so inspiring to hear about your personal journey with this, Bex. And, you know, I know that so many of the listeners will be sort of wondering, what are some of the ways that women in tech can access mentorship, access support systems, and really have that opportunity to reach out and connect with somebody who does know? Where would you set them off on the right path?
Yeah, there's a number of different ways that women can obtain mentorship. You know, a lot of organizations will actually have some mentorship schemes, workplace mentorship schemes, which you could then liaise with your, whether it's your manager or your L&D team, to arrange that mentoring partnership. You could also, if there's somebody that you're working with or that you know who inspires you already, you could reach out to them to see if they would be willing to do some peer-to-peer mentoring. There are some organizations that offer mentorship, like womenintech.org, which is an organization that I've done some work with before. You know, you can reach out to some of those and be matched with a mentor that you've, that may have a similar path or have been through a similar journey to what you're experiencing. But if you want something that's really personal and really tailored to you, there are professional coaches, professional mentors who can offer a one-to-one like paid service, which is very, very tailored to your own personal goals and your own desired career next steps.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of which, I know that Rebecca Shaw Coaching has recently been launched. So that's super exciting. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about some of the work that you're actually doing now, as of now, with your clients?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really exciting. So yeah, hot off the press. I've been doing a lot of coaching and mentoring kind of informally anyway. So I've decided to formalize that into my own business and put that forward as a proposition. So I offer a career fulfillment package, which is aimed at women in technology. Obviously, using my own background and the journey that I've come through, you know, I've been through many different careers, as we talked about earlier, a lot of them in that kind of STEM industry, leading into my role within technology now. So my goal is to work with women who maybe are at that career crossroads or are looking to progress into a leadership role maybe, and just want that extra boost of confidence to be able to take out any of those barriers that they might be feeling are there, and to really gain clarity around their own goals and what their career next steps are, and start to build really tailored, bespoke action plans around that over a, you know, a dedicated period of time, and help them to achieve those goals.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's so exciting, and I'm thrilled for you. I know that there'll be so much value that you're adding, you know, both through the guise of mentoring and both through your coaching business as well. So there's probably some people that are going to be pretty curious about that. So where's best to find you? You know, obviously I can share the links in the show notes for the Women in Tech mentoring scheme and that sort of things, direct people to a variety of resources. But I'd love to be able to direct them directly to you and your services. So where's best to find you, Bex?
Absolutely. Well, you can find me on LinkedIn, at Rebecca Shaw, and also on Instagram, which is at Rebecca Shaw Coaching. And you'll find links to my Linktree on there, where you can get all the details of my packages and some contact information. And also links if you just want to have a free, completely no obligation conversation with me, just to see, you know, what is it that you might want to get out of coaching, and see if I might be able to help you with that. Then all the details for that are on my Linktree.
Oh, fantastic. Highly recommended. Well, I'll definitely pop those direct links in there. Definitely connect with Bex, guys. Give her a follow. She'll be able to share so much wisdom surrounding this industry. But also, you know, as a certified coach, she'll be able to provide a lot of inspiring tools and techniques that you can really start to implement to really help you to look at what career fulfillment looks like for you. So super exciting. Bex, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. I know that there'll be so much value you have from this conversation. And as always, I just love chatting to you anyway. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
Thanks for listening to the Achieve With Me podcast. Please do give the episode a star rating. It takes just a second, but makes so much difference. And please connect with me on LinkedIn and share your main takeaways from today's episode. See you next time.